Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at ethostrainingshy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today's episode was really based off of you guys, the listeners. I had put out a little questionnaire on social media whether or not you guys wanted to hear about float therapy. This is something that a lot of my clients and friends have asked me about. I've never experienced it. And you guys know I like to bring on, the experts to talk about these wonderful topics. So I have with me today in studio Dr. Howard Weissman. He's a licensed clinical psychologist, health psychologist, board certified expert in traumatic stress, specializes in PTSD and OCD, and clinical director and founder of the Chicago Stress Relief Center in Northbrook. That's a mouthful. That's a lot of stuff, which is amazing. And I feel very honored to have you here today. So thank you for coming in.
And I'm honored to be here and I'm so happy to meet you.
Oh, I know. This is great. I was like, one of my good friends who was also on the podcast, Amy Landolt, who owns North Shore Acupuncture Center. She does all my cupping and acupuncture. She told me I had to have you on and she kind of, you know, she's a connector. I call her my connector because she always sends me people to have on the podcast. So thank you again. This is awesome. Great to meet in person. But tell us a little bit about your background first and kind of how you got to this place where you are now.
Sure. So I started the Chicago Stress Relief Center back in 1994.
Okay.
When I was in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
But I always had a vision that I needed to incorporate more holistic modalities.
Yes, love that.
Especially when working with people with trauma,
mm-hmm.
Who tend to fall back to medication. And having worked in the field for many, many years now, I realized pretty quickly that medication wasn't the be-all, end-all, and I needed to provide a different type of framework for people.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2010, I opened the Northbrook branch of the Chicago Stress Relief Center, which basically is now the only place that
You were originally in Chicago.
I was.
And then opened in Northbrook. Okay.
That's
so now
right.
Northbrook is like the home.
It's the Mecca.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. And so I built out this space to include the first flotation tank 9 years ago.
Wow. So were you like the first person to have float therapy?
I'm the first clinical person who has opened up a float center to provide float therapy as an adjunct to different conditions that people are struggling with.
Amazing.
Adjunct therapy.
So what are all, before we get into the specifics of float therapy, what are all the services that you offer at this Mecca?
So I'm a clinical psychologist and I have a background specialty in health psychology. So I'm working with people who are dealing with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, mm-hmm. irritable bowel, cancer, chronic pain, infertility, all of these physical manifestations mm-hmm. of, you might say, stress-related type of conditions,
yes,
including
absolutely.
Autoimmune. Mm-hmm. That's part of my specialty.
Okay.
The other area that I work with is complex post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And that's a mouthful. And a lot of people have immediate associations to people who are coming home from war.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of people that I'm seeing are not necessarily veterans. They're first responders.
Wow.
They're people who've had horrific car accidents, bad situations in hospitals, etc.
Well, everyone can have a different form of that. I mean, I think that is kind of where we go to in our minds, but depending on what experiences people have had in life, you know, they can have the PTSD, and it's a very real thing.
The longer you live on this planet,
the more
vulnerable you are to developing
Absolutely.
Some form of post-traumatic stress.
Right, of course.
Certainly.
And people might not even realize that that's what it is, but that's a very real thing, very valid.
That's right. And, and you know, we can talk at some point about the characteristic symptoms of, mm-hmm. of PTSD and how alternative modalities make such a difference. But the other things that we provide mm-hmm. at the Chicago Stress Relief Center include treatment for OCD, which is another specialty area of mine.
Okay.
People with OCD have intrusive ideas and thoughts uh-huh. that they find silly, but they're repugnant too.
Right.
They make them feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And because of the anxiety created by these thoughts and ideas, there's all kinds of rituals that are formed.
Oh, wow.
And it, ironically, the float experience is fabulous for people with
really?
OCD and people with PTSD. So I'm trained traditionally as well. So I do the classic exposure response therapy for people with OCD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trained in eye movement desensitization and reprocessing for all traumatic conditions.
Okay.
And I'm also trained in more of an energy medicine based modality mm-hmm. that I learned already 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
In which neuroemotional technique, my brother created the lifeline technique, Dr. Darren Weissman.
Yes. Okay. I do not know him. Of course, all my, you know, especially holistic healthcare circle of people.
The circle
always
is small.
Talk about him. Yes. The circle is small.
And he is very large. So at some point you got to get him in here.
He's, yeah, for sure. I would love
he's
to.
He's a dynamic, great guy.
That's amazing. Oh, I love, we should have you guys in together too. I could see the podcast in the future. That's incredible. So go ahead.
Yeah. So the other services, we also provide a variety of different types of clinical massage.
Oh, so awesome.
Zen Shiatsu, mm-hmm. cranial sacral, deep tissue,
yes.
cupping, all that great stuff.
I love
that
some
our
cupping.
Bodies love.
Yes.
Cupping feels so good.
Well, I love that you focus on all these, you know, holistic healthcare alternatives too, because I'm, you know, and I think a lot of health professionals do gear towards medication, and, you know, that might be the end all be all, but there are so many symptoms that can create also in the body. And we know that that's not something that's necessarily healthy to just be popping pills.
Certainly. And with every main effect of a medication that you take for a good reason, you right. have a side effect.
Yes.
And we all have to learn to be judicious
mm-hmm.
and to understand and appreciate all of our choices.
Yeah.
And there are much more natural, holistic ways of balancing our biochemistry
mm-hmm.
besides pharmaceuticals. And I say that not to say that I don't recommend people for pharmaceuticals at times. But
of course,
right. There's a time and a place for medicine.
Absolutely. And I think so many people, this might be kind of veering off topic a little bit, but you know, when they go to the doctor and they hear that that's a trusted person or source, and that's who, you know, they automatically hear you need to take this prescription or you need to be on this. And they're like, okay, no problem. And not really thinking it through or questioning it or maybe educating themselves, because your doctor's telling you this. And so it's obviously a must. But I think really, you know, sharing topics like this and having a lot of holistic healthcare professionals on and just exposing people to it a little bit more, I think it gets them to think and also realize that they can kind of question a little bit if this is something that they have to be on or,
right.
you know, they can kind of make their own decision and look for other alternatives.
That's right. And bringing it back to our topic mm-hmm. of float therapy, what's really interesting mm-hmm. is when we talk about medication,
yeah.
you know, the two most common mental conditions on our planet include depression and anxiety, right? And
yes.
depression is the first leading cause worldwide of disability,
mm-hmm.
and anxiety is the sixth leading cause of worldwide disability. Flotation therapy is a natural anxiolytic, which means it naturally reduces anxiety, and it's a natural antidepressant.
Wow. That's awesome.
So you can float for an hour, and it will be more efficacious, more effective than popping a pill with no side effects except a greater sense of well-being.
Right. That, oh my gosh. So, okay, we have to talk about this float therapy.
We shall.
So, but it's funny, as you talk about that anxiety and depression, I had last night, I recorded with Dr. John Duffy, and we were talking about teenage anxiety. That's kind of like his specialty. And I just had a call from Australia, and we were talking about sound frequencies and healing. And it just, you know, anxiety is kind of the common theme, where it's something that that's what a lot of people are dealing with these days. So having those alternatives, everyone has stress. So being able to take time out and that self-care for ourselves is so important. And we can do that while floating.
We can do that in so many ways. And
yes,
floating is one of you know, very novel for a lot of people. They're like, what are you guys even talking about? Floating.
Floating. Well, I know I was really intrigued by it because of it has a lot of benefits for the body and recovery too, because I'm a jiu-jitsu athlete.
I read that about you.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like, I read that about you. So I'm always looking for alternatives to help kind of, you know, heal and recover, just because I put my body through a lot. So, and that's, you know, another form of stress. But let's talk about what is float therapy.
What is float therapy? So in order to understand float therapy, we got to talk a little history.
Okay. Let's go for it. Yeah.
So let's go back to 1954.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yes.
Before my time, 1954, a guy by the name of Dr. John Lilly came up with the first float apparatus. Visualize this. It's a vertical.
Oh.
Or, and you put on a mask and you have a breathing apparatus and you are floating in this thing. His interest at the time was to understand how isolation, solitude, confinement can bring down stress.
Okay.
So moving forward.
I'm like, that sounds kind of terrifying.
Exactly. And so there was an initial anxiety and terror about all that, but it was done through the NIMH and it was done to appreciate the impact on stress. This guy was really far out, and I don't want to get into it too much because there's a whole podcast we could have on John Lilly.
Got it.
But moving forward to the 70s, Lilly partners with a guy by the name of Perry. And him and his wife, Lee and Glenn Perry, who I later meet Glenn.
Okay.
And I actually buy my first float tank from him 9 years ago. But Glenn Perry and this Dr. Lilly partnered together, and they could create their first horizontal float tank, which is called the Samadhi float tank. And many of the float centers out there throughout the United States and in the world now use the Samadhi. It's
okay.
It's the original.
The Samadhi, I like that.
Well, you would, but if you're at all claustrophobic, you would have anxiety with the Samadhi.
Okay.
So moving forward later into the 80s, it's renamed from sensory deprivation to float rest. And rest is an acronym, and it means reduced environmental stimulation therapy.
Okay.
Float rest is the new name for float therapy.
Wow.
So we've gotten rid of sensory deprivation because we understand it so much better. But let me bring you up just to 2018, and we're done with our history lesson.
Yes, I love it.
2018, Dr. Justin Feinstein, who is at the Luriat Institute for Brain Research in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And he is fascinated with the concept of how float rest can benefit people who have mental illness. So never before has it been used to treat mental conditions.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's the first one that kind of thought about that, using it in that way.
And he has pre and post fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging. He has waterproof electrodes, and people are in an open float bath the room is heated, and he is looking at the effectiveness of floating in a clinical population, people with very serious major areas like major depression, anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, anorexia nervosa.
Okay.
And are the major different conditions he's studying. Now, here's the exciting part.
Yeah.
What he learned was that float rest not only reduced symptoms of mental illness profoundly.
Okay.
But it increased a sense of mental wellness.
Wow.
So what is mental wellness? It's feeling happy.
That's
right.
It's what life should be about.
Right. It's serenity.
Yes.
It's feeling this overall sense of well-being. This is what he found with the most severely challenged people with diagnosable conditions who have tried every modality, every medication out there. Mm-hmm. He is getting results, short-term anxiolytic, short-term antidepressant results after one float session.
That's incredible.
Incredible. His research is so exciting.
I mean, totally turning it around. Really?
Totally. So,
wow.
How do you, though, shift for the person who says, I would never get into that coffin-like box?
Yes.
Well, that is the reason why I got rid of my samadhi. No disrespect to samadhi. I love what they created. It's an amazing thing. And if I ever expand further, I'll bring back a samadhi. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to create the most user-friendly experience for people who wanted to use floating for whatever reason.
Well, it's kind of the evolution of it. I mean, it started in this way, and this is where it was. But then you cannot kind of see how people might be uncomfortable if they have, you know, if they're claustrophobic or
don't like
the small spaces. You know, you change it. You evolve.
You evolve. And so part of the evolution is going from this vertical cylinder to a tank. And now what's available on the market is stunning. I have, and I paid a lot of pennies for it.
Yeah, I'm sure this was not cheap.
I have what's called the ocean float room. So there's pods. You've seen those probably. Mm-hmm. They look like oyster shells. They open up. They're beautiful. I have an actual ocean float room, and this thing is massive.
That just sounds amazing. I want to go to the ocean float room.
You shall. You have to come visit.
I want to. Yes. You shall.
So it is 8 feet. It is 10 feet long, pardon me. Mm-hmm. 8 feet tall.
Okay.
5 feet wide. Mm-hmm. And it's filled with 10 inches of water, pristine water, that is super saturated with 1,200 pounds of pharmaceutical grade Epsom salt.
I have a really funny story real quick.
Detail.
As I was getting ready and prepared for this interview, I was looking online and I had some family over and my mom and cousin were sitting next to me and I was like, oh, let's watch this float video that's on the website. So my one cousin was like, well, I wonder how is it clean? Like, how, you know, do you make it sanitary? And I was like, oh, well, I'm sure maybe they just like, you know, take the salt out and like clean it or change it or whatever. And she's like, it's 1,200 pounds of salt. She's like, I don't think they're doing that, Jen. I was like, oh yeah, that's a good point.
Well, actually, if you come by the float center in the next 10 days, we are going to be emptying out all the water, all the salt, and I have several thousand pounds of salt on hand at all times.
Oh, my gosh.
And we will be filling it again.
Really?
That doesn't happen every week.
I'm like, oh, they just rinse it out daily and just clean it. No, maybe not.
This is a London-based company that made this, and I had it shipped over. It has the most sophisticated filtration system. Some people have heard of floating through going to the Dead Sea in Israel
or
in Jordan on the other side.
Absolutely. That's how I've always heard of it. I mean, I've had clients that have gone and told me about it, the incredible experience.
When I was 16, I floated for the first time in Israel in the Dead Sea.
And that is so cool.
And it was in the back of my mind, and I thought, wouldn't that be cool if I could bring a little bit of the Dead Sea back to Northbrook?
Yes.
And so now we have the Dead Sea of Northbrook through the Chicago Stress Relief Center. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
So take us through, like, what would somebody experience when they come in? How does the process work?
Okay, that's a good question. When a person comes in, now, some people come in and they don't even know about me. that I run the place. They heard from a friend, you got to try floating, a great Father's Day present or whatever. I want to go try it. People can go to the Chicago Stress Relief Center without having to go see me and have a consultation.
Just for floating purposes. Okay.
They can go do that. So if you call up or you go online, you can schedule a float.
My son, and you can get packages of floats.
You can become a float member. You can become a member.
I love this. Floating just sounds so relaxing. It sounds like a great stress relief. Just the word.
Right. I mean, think about it. Where do you float in your life? It lasts in your mom's womb,
right?
Or if you have the opportunity to be an astronaut,
yeah,
with most of us don't.
No.
but in a float room or a float tank or a float pod, you have an opportunity to really be in a zero gravity like environment and truly float. But what a person experiences, they come in, they fill out a little paperwork. It's basically a waiver. There's really no reason for it, but I was advised to do a waiver anyways.
It's always best to have a waiver, just in
case.
So
we have a waiver. They fill out the waiver, and then they go to the washroom, because you don't want any distraction.
No.
And then you're taken into one of our float rooms. The only float rooms we have are the big ones. To eliminate claustrophobia.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you'll get an individual private orientation about how to prepare you for what you're going to experience. And so you have your own private room. It's lockable. It's like a high-end spa. There's a rain shower. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Really?
Yeah. So you're explained that you're going to put wax earplugs in.
Okay.
And the reason why you want to do that is because when you lay back in the water, your head will be half submerged, just past your ear line and before your eyes.
Okay.
The water will not go into your eyes, no matter how hard you push backward.
Wow.
You don't have the strength. It just holds you.
I can't wait to experience this. Okay.
So no matter how slim a person is, they will float. A lot of people think about, well, what if a person's too heavy? Doesn't matter.
They will float.
You have 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt.
It's a lot of salt.
You will be supported without any effort. One of the things in the orientation is everyone showers beforehand. They eliminate the oils off their body. And then they pat off their face, because you don't want to be distracted by touching your face or your eyes. Remember, you have salt over everything at this point.
Right.
So once you lay down in that float room, you have starlit ceilings. They're blue and they're gorgeous starlit lights on the ceiling.
Ugh.
And there's an underwater light and surround sound music.
Oh my gosh.
That is very relaxing, very zen.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And that goes on for 5 minutes, and then it goes silent, and it also goes dark.
Okay.
Automatically, you don't have to press a button.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you need to do in a float room is focus on stillness.
Okay.
So some people float with their arms on their side. Some people take their arms and cross them over their body. Or my favorite position, and I'm demonstrating to you, is the surrender position.
Okay.
Just your hands on each side of your body, and finding whatever distance above or below your head
is most comfortable.
Once you find that stillness, then your goal is really to let whatever happens happen. This experience increases mindfulness like you've never experienced before.
I mean, this sounds like the most amazing meditation session you could ever have.
I'm so glad you used the word meditation.
Yeah.
Do you know that there's a guy that's researching Zen monks, people who have who have meditated for up to 20 years. And one of the things that they found about their brains is that they experience a theta wave state.
Okay.
And I'll explain that in a second. But theta wave state more frequently than any of the younger monks who don't have the experience. So the best of the best monks, they have the most amount of theta brain waves.
Okay.
What is this theta?
Yeah, what is that? What is this?
And people, once they hear about it, they're going to want it.
Do you get it?
And I'll tell you how you get it. So you and I were engaged in a conversation right now. So our brains, if we hooked electrodes up to them, we would see a very specific pattern of brain waves called beta.
Okay.
If I were to ask you to lay down on your floor of this room mm-hmm. and close your eyes, and I would guide you into a relaxation meditation, mm-hmm. you would drift into an alpha state.
Okay.
But if I could get you, and it would take training.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Zen monks are disciplined.
Yeah, very.
20 years to be exemplary.
I meditated with some Tibetan monks.
Okay. So you may have touched some of this experience, this theta state.
Okay.
Theta state is earmarked by having access to great visual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called interoception. It's the internal awareness of your body and the warmth of the air moving through my trachea and out my mouth.
Yes.
It's that internal awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do 20 years or a great deal of time learning meditation to experience theta state, which allows you access to great awareness, insights, aha moments.
Right.
Or you can go 20 minutes in a float room and you'll see theta. Theta appears after 20 minutes, even for the novice floater. And during that time, people have what are called hypnagogic experiences.
I'm like, hypnagogic? What's that?
Yeah, it's something that happens a lot when you were a kid.
Okay.
It's a visual experience mm-hmm. just before sleep.
Okay, yes.
You know, a lot of people can remember a time when it felt like, oh, I felt like someone's hand was on mine mm-hmm. and no one was there.
Yes.
It's this kind of this blurry period between wakefulness and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
During floating, during theta, people have these hypnagogic experiences. It's amazing. This is completely sober. This is just a natural outgrowth of reducing all the stress on the outside
mm-hmm.
and on the inside.
Wow.
So the inside of your body, you know, your heart is giving off all these, all this information, your lungs, your GI system,
mm-hmm.
your immune system, all that data is being processed.
Constantly.
The gravity on our body sitting in this room in these chairs mm-hmm. takes a toll by the end of the day. You know, you start stretching
yeah,
and moving.
For sure.
When you step inside a float room or a pod or tank, the gravitational forces disappear. The left side of your brain is involved with constantly dealing with that gravitational stress.
Mm-hmm.
When you go and lay down, that left side turns off and the right side of your brain opens up and you have access to experience things in a more holistic way. So think about it like this. If I were to show you a picture
mm-hmm.
of a square,
okay.
your left side of your brain would see four lines and four dots.
Mm-hmm.
Your right side of your brain would see the whole image.
Okay.
So it is the imagistic capacity. It's the capacity to see the whole
wow,
that
yes.
takes place in a float room.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's a lot of floating in my future. just by talking to you about this. I mean, it sounds amazing. It's like, who wouldn't want to float?
It's a great question.
So when you're in there, so before we kind of touch on that,
yeah.
you're in there, you're floating, lights go off. For somebody who might be a little concerned or, you know, I don't want to say scared, but nervous about, you know, being in this room and by themselves and if something can happen,
yeah.
do they have access? Like, can they turn lights on? Can they call out if they need someone? Is there someone close by in case of emergency?
Great conversation to have for the person who's never experienced floating and maybe
right.
is anxious or fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they think it's smaller than it actually is.
Right.
But the reality is this. Part of the orientation is reminding people that they have control over this entire experience.
Okay.
There's nothing that's going to happen in the float room that you don't want to happen. Okay. And if you want to leave the lights on, leave the lights on.
Uh-huh.
You can do that.
Okay.
You're in charge. If you want to leave the door open a crack, which personally I do.
Yeah.
I like fresh air. I like to be cool.
Right.
So I leave the door open a crack and I get extra fresh air. The density of the salt makes the air thicker.
Okay.
And because I'm sensitive to warmth.
Yeah.
I like the coolness.
I would probably like some coolness too.
So you could open the door a crack. I do appreciate the darkness because I have come to know after I don't know how many times I've floated at this point, but I have come to know that when I can turn off my visual part of my brain, and the way we do that is through darkness, and we can turn off our auditory parts by putting our earplugs in and submerging and being in a soundproof room, that part turns off.
You're just more relaxed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, the water in that room is heated to 93.5 degrees.
Okay.
So it tricks your brain to not know where your body ends and where the water begins.
I was going to say, do you almost even feel like you're
lose your body.
Not in water? You like
feel,
you don't.
You feel like you don't have a body. You feel like your head is floating in space.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You lose awareness
That's
of
so
your body.
So cool.
And you know what? People who have pain syndromes, my buddy who lost his left arm in a car accident, and he has phantom limb pain when he floats. His brain is tricked to think that his left arm has returned and he has no pain in there.
Oh, wow. That is deep.
It's truly therapeutic.
Oh, my gosh. So how often can someone float?
So some people come in because they've heard about it, and some people I refer that are clients of mine. And so for a clinical population of people who are dealing with moderate to severe OCD or moderate to severe post-traumatic stress, I'm recommending at least once a week.
Okay.
Once a week makes a huge difference. If you have insomnia, you can eradicate it without Ambien or any other pills if you just float. It
really?
Is incredible for resetting the circadian rhythms and getting you to sleep regularly, naturally.
Oh, wow. That's great to know.
If you're doing a red eye flight and you come in, go to a float center nearest you and float. It'll correct it. You will eliminate jet lag.
That is amazing. So it could depend the circumstance really, or what the person might be experiencing or going through, for how often they would need to come in.
It would.
Pretty much.
The people who become members, they're usually floating once or twice a month.
Okay.
Is what they find
That's
perfect.
Kind of the norm.
There are people who are in the field of science or computer science, and they go to the float space to create. To come up with creative ideas. Because remember, the right side of the brain is that more creative side. And my brother, who I referenced earlier, he's written several of his books.
I need to come in.
It's great for inspiration.
Yes.
It's great for being able to see things from different perspectives.
I'm like, when can we set up this time? I need to figure it out. This week, I want to be there. Okay. Wow, that's really, really cool. So, but also, am I right in saying that it can help with recovery for the body, for athletes or people, experiencing pain or whatever it might be, like even rehab, anything that they're going through physically?
Yes, is the answer. Epsom salt is a natural chelator of lactic acid. You know, being an athlete.
I mean, I take Epsom salt baths at home, usually after training.
Right, but you can't put enough in there to do what you can do.
I can't put 1,200 pounds.
So, yeah, we have a lot of mixed martial artists who come to our place. I was a martial artist for 15 years myself.
Awesome. This is where I start saying you need to come try jiu-jitsu, because I bring that up on every podcast pretty much.
I've been told that by many, many good people.
It's great.
It's great.
Oh my gosh. This is incredible. So we've talked about some of the benefits and the people that this can work for. I mean, this really can be beneficial for anybody.
Unless you have an open injury or you're not able to get up by yourself from a lying position.
Okay.
So I work with a lot of older adults as well. And we, at this point, we've had an experience, so we've learned from that. And now we do a test. And if anyone is having any challenges ambulating, walking, getting up, we actually say you need to sit on the ground and get yourself up. If you can do that, you can float.
Okay.
And if you have a little cut on your body, it's okay. We have Vaseline available, little individual packets. And if you just put it over a tiny little cut or an abrasion, then you won't feel that salt sting. If you do feel the salt sting, FYI, it's okay. You just breathe through it. It'll help.
It's going to help heal it.
It will.
Yeah.
It will.
It's just that tolerance.
That's right. If you have arthritis, if you have this fibromyalgia, which is this pain syndrome all over the body, floating is fabulous for that.
Oh, wow. So basically, anybody, I mean, it's really kind of, it's I don't want to say an end all be all for a lot of different symptoms people are experiencing. But yeah, I mean, physically, mentally, it kind of covers everything.
It does. And interestingly, spiritually as well, because it does open up a doorway, a portal to all kinds of possibilities of not only seeing yourself in this life, but being able to see yourself floating in this float room on a planet that is floating in space, and you all of a sudden have these perspectives that are really deep.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I mean, I really do, when you talk about it, I just feel like it's like taking meditation to the next level. Really, because you're putting your mind, sometimes we can be, depending on where, you know, the environment we are having our meditation session in, this is really going to kind of help allow for that complete stillness and silence. And you're just in this tank on your own with nothing but
so true. Although let's appreciate that. And I do meditation as well. When you go and get into a meditative state, you have to deal with the extraneous noises around you.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
We're not in a soundproof space typically.
Of course, of course.
So in a float room, there is no need to push back or neutralize or harmonize the noises that surround you.
So I think you can kind of get there to that state faster.
Faster, yeah.
Is really the key.
And you automatically orient to your own body. You can hear the sound of your heartbeat because sound travels and your ears are under the water.
Yeah.
You will hear your beautiful heartbeat pounding and getting slower because your blood pressure will lower, your pulse will lower, your cortisol levels will lower, and you can experience that.
Wow. So I read somewhere, I think it was on your website, but talking about how also like a float session or even an hour to a 90-minute float session can be as beneficial, or if not more beneficial, of like a night's sleep.
People have been saying that. They say that,
I mean,
it's
they
equivalent
say that about too, like massage, don't they? Where, I mean, just having that relaxation level, but I'm sure float therapy kind of takes it to the next level.
Correct. There's such profound rest, such profound calming of the physiology of the nervous system, that people feel a level of restoration that they don't normally feel. My favorite time to float is at the end of my day. I synthesize and integrate everything that I've been through, and there's kind of a energetic dumping that takes place in that float space.
That's a great release. Yeah, end of day sounds like a wonderful time.
Yeah, although a lot of people come in the first time of the day too. People come whenever they can, really. There's no downside. The only thing I advise people not to do is don't float at a time that you have to run somewhere afterwards.
Right, right. Where you can kind of appreciate that relaxation.
Yes.
I guess. And that zen state that you're in.
Right.
Like, I probably wouldn't come float and then go train jiu-jitsu.
Maybe after jiu-jitsu would be perfect for you.
Yes, that would be great. Oh, wow. So what are your hours? Are you pretty much... when is floating available for people?
We are considering being open 7 days a week because the demand is there.
I mean, that's incredible though, right? That all these people want to come in and float?
Yeah, I'll tell you something between you and me. So
yeah, between me and you right here. Nobody else listening. Yeah.
When I brought in the Samadhi float tank, I got it for myself, selfishly, for self-care. And now it has
a beautiful thing.
It has a life of its own, and I've got to come after hours.
I'm like, do you still get your self-care time?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a great problem to have.
Yeah. So people can float really Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're open from 9 to 8 o'clock Monday through Thursday,
okay.
9 to 5 o'clock on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday by appointment, we're going to be opening Sundays, at least 2 Sundays a month. And we're also going to be opening for an overnight float once a month for those who are really looking to do some major internal work.
Really?
And resetting sleep rhythm, dealing with whatever challenge they have mm-hmm. that they can't get their head around. Let the float room be the mirror to help you work through whatever you're dealing with.
Wow. So is there a certain, each session is an hour, correct? Or how much can you float too long?
My office manager, Eva, floated mm-hmm. the longest at our center. She's floated for 5.5 hours.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. I find my sweet spot is 90 minutes.
Okay.
I love a 90 minute float.
Mm-hmm.
I find 60 minutes a tease at this point.
Yeah.
I need the 90. Same with massage.
I was going to say that's how I am with massage. So it's probably the same thing. I need the 90 minutes.
So let me suggest to you mm-hmm. that when you come and mm-hmm. you'll eventually come to visit.
Yes, for sure.
You got to start with your 90 minute massage.
Okay.
And then come for a 90 minute float. You will be transformed.
Oh, wow. I have to do this on a Monday on my day off. That would okay. be, that's the way I want to spend my Monday. Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So there's plenty of hours in the day and plenty of spaces available. Anybody who's interested can find time.
Okay. Float. Now, for the listeners out there too, how much does float therapy cost? What is the average? Like, how do you guys, I'm sure doing like a membership or packages, makes it a little bit more affordable. But I really never had an idea on this either. But how much does something like that look like?
Well, I'll tell you, ironically, I'm not aware of all the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I do my work.
Right. You do your work.
But Eva, my office manager, yes. if she was here, she would just rattle it all off. A standard 1 hour float mm-hmm. is $79.
Okay. Yeah.
But you add on a package, it goes down significantly. You could get in a membership and it's really cost effective.
Okay. So similar to like massage prices, maybe a little yes. less, actually.
A little less, mm-hmm. and a lot of our regular massage clients will say they get more from an hour of float than they do from the massage. And that is not disrespecting our massage therapists.
Oh, no.
We have 3 of the finest massage therapists. Mm-hmm. They are amazing, and they work with people with complex situations, like my buddy with the one arm.
Right.
They're that skilled.
Wow.
So they're clinical massage therapists.
And I mean, it all works together beautifully.
It does.
It just ties in so nice.
It does.
So where can people find you on social media?
So they can go to the website at www.stressreliefcenter.com.
Awesome.
A mouthful.
Yes. But it's easy to remember. Stress relief. I want stress relief. Where do I go? Stress Relief Center.
Yeah. And we're in Northbrook. So Stress Relief Center in Northbrook. You can Google us. Mm-hmm. We have a professional Facebook page. We're on Instagram.
Awesome.
Anyone can ask me any questions. I welcome questions. If there's anyone who has a question about, can I use float therapy to work with my own psychologist
mm-hmm.
to help as an adjunctive therapy to support the work we're doing, I'd be more than happy to weigh in and talk with anyone else's therapist or physician.
That's awesome.
I have physicians who call me all the time
mm-hmm.
who talk about clients who have different conditions, and they ask me about how float therapy can be beneficial.
Well, it's about helping people and utilizing those resources, you know,
right.
and getting the experts in different fields. But, you know, the ultimate goal is to be able to help people. I think that's kind of why people go into these professions.
That's right.
So that's amazing. So where can people
message you? If they want to message me, they can email me at drhweissman@aol.com.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Of course.
And is there anything else that you want to share before we close out?
Maybe I should just share this. I've been moved by floating in such a profound way. And not because my first float was remarkable in any way, when I was in my early 20s, I used to go with my younger brother, Dr. Darren Weissman, mm-hmm. to Space Time Float Center, which was on Lincoln Avenue in Chicago.
Okay.
It's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. But we'd have a tradition. We'd float. We'd go to have some sushi.
Oh.
And I always thought in the back of my head, what are we doing? I mean, I love the sushi. I love my time with my brother. But I was like, I didn't get it. And then I had a eureka moment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. It took about six sessions for me to get out of my head.
Okay.
I'm a thinker.
Yeah.
And you can relate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't get out of my head. And so I'd get out early and be like, this is kind of a waste of time, but I'm looking at the big picture. It's sushi right. time shortly.
Sushi time. Here we go. Let me get through the float.
Right. But then I had the moment. And I'm like, I've got to, this is something as a psychologist and working with people with stress, mm-hmm. this has got to be part of the package to help people.
Wow.
And so I had a young man who came to see me. Long story short is he was dealing with a suicidal depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I had my old samadhi and I didn't know if it would help him. I didn't know what it would do, but I was hopeful. And
try it out.
I gave him an orientation personally.
Mm-hmm.
He went in, he came out, and he's got tears down his face. And I said, come in my office. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. And he's like, he hugs me and he says, I can't even understand why I was thinking about ending my life.
Oh my, that gives me goosebumps. Oh my God.
He had
a
complete shift.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's probably not for everybody, mm-hmm. but it helps a lot of people. I've seen it firsthand and I'm so grateful for Glenn Perry and for Dr. Lilly and for all the people before who've been able to bring this change technology
yeah.
into my office space.
Well, you can just tell. I mean, it's just amazing to see when people are so passionate about something and helping people and knowing how much of an effect and impact it can have on someone's life. I mean, that's just such in one session for somebody to switch their thinking like that.
Yeah.
You know, and about themselves. I mean, you can't help but get emotional, and that's got to be the most fulfilling thing to you.
So I got one more story to share with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I love the stories.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. So I've got a guy, a first responder
mm-hmm.
is what I'll say about him. And he just recently shared with me that, because he floats
mm-hmm.
and he does it for serious chronic pain and serious emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shared with, I said, you know, by the way, how did you ever hear about floating? Because you
yeah.
were floating before we were talking. And he's like, well, I was at a lecture by a Navy SEAL,
mm-hmm.
and I went up to him privately afterwards, and I asked him, I go, listen, you know the impact of war, of killing, of stress on the body and the mind. How do you take care of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? And he's like, well, have you ever heard of float therapy? And this guy says, no. He goes, well, look it up and do it, and it'll help you.
Wow.
This guy had to be driven to my place. He Googled the nearest float center. Mm-hmm. It was in Northbrook. It was us. He came in. His wife took him there, and she waited. And he came out, and he's a very tough mm-hmm. guy.
Of course, yep.
Doesn't show much emotion.
Strong, yep.
Stoic. And his eyes were welling with tears because he limps in and he's hunched over from mm-hmm. serious pain in which there's no medical intervention anymore for him.
Wow.
And he's young. And so it's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 100% relief. He lost awareness of his pain and he was free of it. Now, it was short term,
mm-hmm.
but he had freedom from it. As he does, as he floats more and more frequently,
mm-hmm.
he finds that the relief lasts longer and longer.
In between.
Yes.
Like, wow.
Which becomes a doorway to begin to decrease the opiates that he lives on.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's so many of these stories.
Oh, I'm sure. That's amazing. But you just see the benefits and it's like, you know, you want everyone to experience this because it's like, if this can help that person so much, it can help so many people living in pain. You know, it's so hard to see people
in
living
pain.
With that pain.
Yeah.
If it's physically, you
emotionally.
Know, emotionally, whatever it may be, but it's to have an, you know, an answer or starting point for someone to kind of have that relief. That's just incredible.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. So. Well, I have enjoyed having you on so much, and I'm so glad that we were able to meet in person, and I look forward to being able to come in and experience some floating for myself. And
please do.
And referring my clients too. I mean, now just, you know, one of the things that I love about having this podcast is being able to have it as a platform for others to share these amazing alternatives, you know, to help other people. I mean, that's really the main mission. So I will definitely be referring a lot of people your way because I think it's just sounds so amazing.
I think we can change the world one person at a time.
Absolutely.
Through a lot of different modalities, right? But
yes.
Floating is definitely a huge game changer for shifting negative feelings, depression, anxiety, pain, tension in the body. It shifts it quickly and it puts a person, it launches them into a state of serenity, into this state of wellness.
Well, I think that gives them a little bit of an instant, like, I don't know what I want to say. It gives them just that instant relief to start being able to kind of really think a little clearer and get some clarity on what they're really feeling or what they really want, especially if they've been kind of in this fog or haze in their mind or having all this anxiety and depression. Getting this quick glance into this is how I can feel.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's a beautiful shift that can happen.
Yeah, I like the way you say that because it does open a doorway to greater clarity of one's purpose.
Right. And that can help tremendously in how somebody feels about themselves or, you know, their lives and the feelings that they're going through.
Right. And the interplay between physical pain and our thoughts about that are huge.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, being in jiu-jitsu, that you can be put into a lock, right? And you're going to tap out. Your first instinct is to tap out, but you can learn to train your mind, can't you?
Yes. Right? Well, it's all about being comfortable in the uncomfortable.
That's right.
Jiu-jitsu, 100%. And I've had this conversation so many times, but when you're in those uncomfortable positions, when you first begin, you get a little anxious. Maybe you get very tense. You hold your breath, you know, so,
exactly.
And that makes it very hard for you to get out of that situation. But when you learn to be calm and controlled,
even in
breathe,
the presence of fear and
pain, you can start thinking, okay, I'm okay here.
Yeah.
I can start maneuvering. I can go through my mind and the steps that I need to take to get out of this situation. But just breathing and being comfortable in that uncomfortable space, that's just something you learn on the mats that you can use in life and anywhere else.
It's a wonderful metaphor, learning to relax into the uncomfortable state and then shift it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I hear you.
So you gotta come try jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
Well, thank you again so much. This has been wonderful. And to all my amazing listeners, any guests or topics that you would like to hear me have on, please send me a message to my Facebook page at Gen Z or on my Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. Thank you guys again, and I'll see you next week. Bye.